Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Hey there.
He was going there. He was going there. It is Wednesday. Oh, my goodness, Wednesday. We're glad to be with you here this morning. We do want to give some shout-outs today. Tony Tone, looking forward to seeing you. And looking forward to baptisms. My goodness, this is exciting days we're living in. Pastor Debbie, good to hear from you, and looking forward to seeing you as well. It was great talking to Eddie, and of course, Brother Steve. Steve holding it down in Pittsburgh. We are so encouraged. I do want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners, our new VFN radio listeners, and our faithful from the beginning VFN radio listeners. But we do want to welcome our new ones that are joining with us as of recent. David, Antoine, Benjamin, Buster, Blake, Rusty, Kathy, my goodness, Trevor, Linda, Mark. It is so wonderful that every single day, new VFN radio listeners are joining and being a part of this awesome conversation. We have so much in store for you today. We're going to be talking about coding and the exalted Lord and, oh my goodness, so much more. But before we get started, Pat, you know, well, maybe I should ask Chris.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, mm-hmm. you were given. You know, and I don't know who started this, but you were given a hard time not too long ago.
Yes.
I mean, out of the kindness of your heart, you know, I mean, just the kindness out of your heart, mm-hmm. you were moved mm-hmm. to, as I remember, purchase your daughter, your sweet daughter.
Yeah.
A dog.
Yes.
A pug.
Yes, I did.
And that was so nice of you. And as I remember
mm-hmm.
what had happened here. And
I believe you remember this was on
VFN radio. This actually was on VFN radio. You may want to go back and listen to our archives. If you don't subscribe to podcasts, this would be the moment to subscribe to podcasts. Just joking. But do subscribe. But I believe that Pat was giving you a hard time over this pug.
Yeah, I
don't recall that.
Oh,
I really don't. I remember praising him. I thought it was great.
I've got the archives. We can replay it.
We have the highlights. In fact, not only did he give you a hard time, but you actually brought the dog over for a cookout.
I did.
And something interesting happened. All of a sudden, now this tough guy, this, you know, mm-hmm. you got a what? A pug? A dog? In fact, you know what?
Haven't you learned your lesson? Yeah.
I think that when you go back and listen, you will actually hear that Pat was the one that actually brought this to my attention. I had no idea that you bought a dog. I didn't know. But he brought it to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, when you bring the dog over, he starts melting. I mean, I'm getting pictures. My phone's blowing up. I'm like, bing, bing, bing. What is going on here?
Oh, yeah. It was
I'm seeing
awesome
pictures of this dog. I'm seeing pictures of this dog on Pat's lap. And
he's,
I'm like,
he's proud
what
now.
Is...
He's showing pictures of the...
What are we talking about?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. So, Pat.
What?
I mean, I know you were all tough and everything, but did something happen here recently that you want to... confess, I'm sorry, share with us. Is something you want to share with us that we may or may not know?
No.
Okay, well, Chris, he may not want to confess it, but we're going to tell his business right
I got
now.
That.
We're just
going to
put it all out. Did you just buy an animal? Did you? Is it something you want to?
Well,
let me think.
I don't know. My arm got twisted a little bit. Maybe.
Oh, twisted.
Yeah, right. Twisted. What happened?
Well, you know, my daughter, my wife, they were insistent on having one like it. So.
Right, right.
I thought about it really long and hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long time. Maybe 24 hours.
24 hours.
And I said, you know, Chris, you know, just check, you know, does that woman have any more of those vermin?
Vermin.
just, you know, just to see.
Jordan, you might want to turn off the radio right now.
Since you got such a good deal on it. So Chris, you know, he called.
He called.
Huh? And just so happens, they had one left.
One left.
Mm-hmm.
For sale. One left.
Yeah, because I noticed that I tried reaching you that day. I mean, phone wasn't answering.
I remember that.
It wasn't in the office. Studio was, I don't know what happened to the studio. I mean, I and all of a sudden, I started getting pictures again, Chris. What is going on with this guy?
Yeah.
And the cheese smile. I don't know if we can make this cheese smile available. I don't know, but.
Oh, we've got some video.
Oh, video. Well, I am so glad. I am so glad for your daughter's sake. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And the children.
I felt sorry. They were really, you know, really depressed when Frank had to go.
You like this deflection, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. So what's the dog's name,
man? It was my daughter.
His name? Mojo.
Mojo.
Yeah.
We got some mojo in
we
the
got some mojo
now.
Going
we got
on.
Some mojo there, huh?
Although Holly is not very happy.
Oh,
she is upset.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has moved in on her business.
Oh, my goodness. That is so hilarious. Oh, it reminds me when I had the miniature pincher, and like we got the big Doberman.
Yeah.
My little pincher looked at me like, are you crazy? Look at that dog up in his house.
You've got to see the video of this little pug is chasing Holly around the house.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Hilarious. This little midget thing. About the biggest
size of a rat.
Big as
right?
My hand, yeah.
It's a rat, right?
He's chasing Holly around the house. He's good 80 pounds.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous. I said, it's pathetic. It's really,
amazing.
I'll have to send you the video. Amazing.
Well, I'm just so glad. I just felt that was so necessary to share this morning, considering the fact that, I mean, the toughness, the how you just went on Chris. I just see that.
I saw it a totally different scenario. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say anything
negative.
We
might have to play that segment here. Well, he is a producer, so we may not get to play that. But we have it available on the Torch. We do have it available on the Torch. I do want to share this morning. With you, our VFN radio listeners and all those that are listening to us today, that there's a fantastic story that we just came across about a teenager and him trying to find employment and work. And I really think it's going to encourage you and move your heart. But I really want you to listen to this.
The story of a young Indianapolis man has gone viral on Facebook.
Yeah, this is a story of dedication, sympathy, and a work ethic that is rare to find these days. The main character is an unemployed teen and a business owner who saw his potential. 24-Hour News 8's Brooke Martin captured the story as it unfolded.
Good evening, Karen and Eric. It was on Facebook that Papa Roo's owner, Art Bouvier, posted a short story about someone he came across this morning. 10 hours later, it has 7,000 likes and almost 2,000 shares.
Two fish and that's it. Just let me know when the fish are almost done.
Papa Roo serves some of the best Cajun cuisine Indy has to offer. But early Friday morning, owner Art Bouvier was serving ice melt to his frozen parking lot when a young man walked up asking how far to 10th and Sherman.
I'm thinking, we're at 10th and Post. I said, well, that's probably six, 7 miles. So you'd be better off on a bus, especially in this weather. And he just said, okay, thank you, and he kept going.
15 minutes later, Art was driving when in the freezing temperatures, there he was, still walking.
And I called to him. I said, buddy, you really do need to be on a bus to go down to 10th and Sherman today. He says, well, I don't have any money for the bus. I said, well, come on. We're headed that way.
His name was Jaquiel. He was unemployed, lost his mom 2 years ago, and had to take care of his two siblings. He was on his way to a minimum wage job interview at a thrift store, a 10-mile walk in the snow and ice.
You hear too many stories about people that want work, but it's got to be the right work. It's got to be glamorous work. It's got to be high-paying work, holding up for the management job. And then, you know, here's a kid that knows there's work available, and it's hard to get, and it's hard to do, but he'll do it.
Hang on a second.
Art got Jaquiel's phone number, and unknown to Jaquiel, was planning to do this.
I don't think I can afford to pass you up, man.
Well, I mean, I can sure use it, sir.
A job much closer. Could he start tonight?
He told me about it. I was just so surprised. It's an awestruck.
Two men now bonded. One who took the road less traveled. The other who's offering to make it easier.
Thank you very much.
Very welcome.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate the trudging through the snow. So now you trudge here.
Jaquiel's new job at Papa Roo's will be much closer for him, but he won't even have to worry about walking there. There have been hundreds of comments on Facebook since this story was posted, many of them saying they're going to buy bus tickets, drop them off at Papa Roo's for Jaquiel. Back to you in the studio.
Wow, how awesome is that?
Wow, amazing.
Is that encouraging?
There's hope. There is hope.
There's hope. Listen, in this news cycle where they want to, you know, put every negative thing that a high school, a young person does out there, and they want to put it on a 24 news cycle. It's so great that a story like this is getting attention and has gone viral, actually, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so many people are hearing about it. I mean, we're living in tough economic times. And to see this young man willing to just take the chance, you know what I'm saying, to just go out, it's just huge, huge encouragement. I mean, see, encourages many. I mean, think of the example. You know what I'm saying? Think of the example. Oh, you know, you can make a lot of excuses in the world for why you can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
But all you need is just one reason for why you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody can come up with excuses. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. I mean, he didn't make an excuse for the snow. All right, he didn't say that it was cold outside.
Mm-mm.
He didn't say it's 10 miles away. I mean, these are like legitimate reasons.
And no vehicle.
Yeah, no vehicle. So he's got to use, you know, right foot and left foot,
mm-hmm.
right? And he didn't probably get negative because he went. He didn't say, well, they're probably not going to be there anyway.
Right.
Or am I going to walk this distance? And then with my luck, I'll probably get the job. And then what am I going to do after I get the job? Yeah. Am I going to have to walk these 10 miles every day? I don't know if I can do that. No. He just stepped out and went for it.
Yep.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you don't see that very often anymore.
Mm.
Well, hopefully it's a trend that we're going to see more. I mean, his mom unfortunately had passed away, but, you know, it's also good to know that, you know, we don't know if the father was around or anything like that. We don't know anything about that much into the story, but he didn't have a relative, fortunately, to stop him, you know, from going,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my goodness, I mean, they could have said, you know, you're going to get sick out there if you walk out there. You're going to get sick.
Right.
There's no way you can do that. What if you get hit by a car? Well, I don't want you to suffer. I mean, it exists today. Yeah. It's like, I think that Jesus, the Word of God says, learned obedience by the things he suffered. I mean, there's so many today, unfortunately, that are trying to not allow their children to suffer. And I think they're trying, you know, it's robbing them of the opportunity to develop character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are character moments that young and old, we all need them, right, in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And believe you me, I'm sure this is one experience he is not going to forget. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not going to forget. And we got to encourage our young people to take the chance. Let them go out and do stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, you know, they're going to develop this character and this perseverance, not to fall back, but to continue to move forward. It's what it takes in this world. Can't let people get all comfortable and cozy, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and you got to go get it. You got to go get it. And it was awesome to see how the restaurant owner played a pivotal role. Papa Roo.
Yeah.
Papa, I'm telling you, making me want some of that jambalaya and that gumbo.
I wonder where he's from.
Oh, yeah. Raging Cajun, right?
Exactly.
But that's so cool. Oh, yeah. Art Bouvier, you know. There you go. But that was so cool that the owner saw and recognized that, which goes to show you that, listen, I mean, you know, hard work and determination gets rewarded. It really does. You know, and the guy said, how could I not? I will find you a job. You know what I'm saying? It also puts people on notice. Can you imagine how those employees felt? Like, if we he may let one of us go.
Exactly.
They bring this guy out.
This kid's got something.
Yeah. And how many people have called in because they said they didn't have a ride? Right. You know what I mean? They didn't have a ride.
Right.
And it's just these opportunities that you learn, especially at a young age, and particularly with children, that you have to be willing to stick, stay, and stand even when it stinks.
Right.
And you know what? Sometimes life is going to stink. Things are going to happen. But you need to be one that perseveres. You need to be one that is willing to go through the difficult things and go through the trials and go through the tribulations and go through the setbacks. And if you have God, if you have the Lord, my goodness, you know, we can rest assured. We can rest comfortably in knowing that, you know what, God is for me. He's not against me. And these words that Chris will remember, this too shall pass.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it will pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I lived off of that for a long time. I remember going through a string of trials, but it was just, you know, I remember, you know, coming to you and talking to you. And that was a huge nugget to learn that this too shall pass. You know, it's only a season. You know, when we go going through things in life, it's only a season. So we can be encouraged in that, knowing that this too shall pass. This isn't something that's going to last forever.
Right.
That's right.
Just a season.
That's right. And you know, you really have two choices. You know, just two. You can let what's happening defeat you and take you down into a downward spiral. I mean, this guy had every excuse to say, look, I'm not, it's winter. I mean, it is slush. They don't even have sidewalks on this road. Come on, man. You know, he could have talked himself out of it. And I think about how many people today are talking themselves out of great opportunities. They're talking themselves out of the blessings of the Lord. They're talking themselves out of everything that God wants to do in their life. But you got to step out and trust the Lord in faith. I mean, that's all part of faith in action. You know, you got to step out and trust God and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to step out no matter what it looks like in the natural. You know, I'm still going to step out and just see, believe you to do what you're going to do.
Right.
You know, and I love with Art, the restaurant owner who hired him, the Blaze says that he actually told the young man, go ahead and go on the interview. All the while he's probably thinking, I'm going to hire this guy up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see what you can do. But go ahead, go on the interview. He didn't say, I'm going to hire you right now. He says, look, go on the interview. Character, show up. Do what you said you're going to do. Show up. And he trusted and said, man, I'm going to get this guy. If they don't hire him, I'm going to give this guy an opportunity. My goodness, what an amazing, amazing lesson. We'll be right back.
You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the politically correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
I go to church. And but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's the lover of your soul and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride in this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that, he says, remain or abide in me, I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
That's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's right. an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
think about it. I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and sure. that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying, and it just... You know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God, and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Hmm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his Son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories. Welcome back to VFN Radio. My goodness, well, just before the break, we were talking about this amazing story about this teenager who was willing to brave the cold, walk 10 miles just for an interview.
Amazing.
Don't you love this kid?
Amazing.
Don't you love this guy? And you saw how grateful he looked when he got offered the job. He says, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He didn't ask to be the manager. He didn't ask to be the head waiter.
Right.
He's probably going to learn. And you think about that, you know. That's the type of attitude that gets rewarded. Someone that's willing to work hard and step on out and do what they have to do. And let me tell you, these days, customer service, I won't talk about the milkshake that I ordered. We won't even go there. We won't even go there. His eyes got real big. Yeah, a milkshake.
You ordered what?
Listen, that is not a foreign object, okay? But it's like supposed to be mixed, right? It's supposed to be a strawberry milkshake.
Right.
So you get the milkshake and it's like a little pink in there and all you see is white. I'm like, what happened to the strawberry milkshake? And they didn't even mix it right. Is there like they even mixed? So I'm like, is this, so I thought it was a new, you know, white and strawberry combination or something. I don't know. I said, is this the strawberry milkshake? He goes, yeah. There's strawberry in it. I said, no, I thought it was a strawberry milkshake. He's like, oh, would you like us to blend it more?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So he goes and blends it and gives it back and he goes, here you go. And I go, thanks. And it's like, I was bothering him. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Wow.
You know, what a way to kill a business. This is not good. Customer service is a great, great, great deal. And hard work will be recognized, you know.
Yeah, good
it will be recognized.
Service. Good customer service. Clarify that.
What was that?
That's a good customer service.
That's right.
Ain't nothing like bad.
That's right. I just said thank you. That was very nice. I said thank you. Appreciate it. And he was like, okay, thank you. And I was like, wow, man. But anyway, I do want to share about coding. Just recently, this is so exciting because just recently, Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who started Facebook in his dorm room, and Bill Gates, the really first internet or computer really prodigy, yeah, you know, super young kid brain, right? And actually the founder of Dropbox, it's an application that some of us use, they're putting together, they're on this video, and they're really started this organization, or they're promoting basically teaching children how to code at a young age. They're talking about all the opportunities that are available to you, and they're saying, listen, you need to be taught this in school. You need to learn this in high school. You need to get this education now because we need you. Can you imagine this? We need you. Listen to this.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Olivia?
An astronaut.
I want to be a fashion designer.
A basketball player.
I want to be an actor.
A doctor.
A teacher.
A chef.
An artist.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A mermaid.
Do you know what a computer programmer is?
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
I think it's something that has codes and is able to decode a mystery.
I think that they...
Wait, what?
Computer programmer?
No.
Nowadays, just about everything requires some form of programming. So, what is it? Programming is basically explaining to a computer what you want it to do for you.
When you're programming, you're teaching possibly the stupidest thing in the entire universe, a computer, how to do something.
Programming is one of the only things in the world that you can do where you can sit down and just make something completely new from scratch, you know, whatever you want.
It's really not unlike kind of playing an instrument or something, or you know, or playing a sport. It starts out being very intimidating, but you kind of get the hang of it over time.
Coding is something that can be learned, and I know it can be intimidating. A lot of things are intimidating, but, you know, what isn't?
A lot of the coding that people do is actually fairly simple. It's more about the process of breaking down problems than, you know, sort of coming up with complicated algorithms as people traditionally think about it.
Well, if it's fairly simple, why aren't there more of us doing it? Over the next 10 years, there will be 1.4 million jobs in computer science, and only about 400,000 grads qualified for those jobs. That's a shortage of 1 million people. So, how do you start?
I was obsessed with maps when I was a kid, and cities specifically. So I taught myself how to program. I had a very clear goal of what I wanted to do, which is to see a map of the city on my screen and play with it. put things on the map, move things around the map, see what was happening in the city, how it worked, how it lived, how it breathed.
The best early thing was actually using software to decide when the classes in my school would meet, and that put me in a position to decide which girls were in my class.
The first program I wrote asked things like, what's your favorite color? Or how old are you?
I first learned how to make a green circle and a red square appear on the screen.
The first time I actually had something come up and say, hello world, and I made a computer do that, it was just astonishing.
When I finally learned a little bit of programming, that blank wall resolved into a bunch of doors, and you open them and finally you start to open enough doors that the light comes in. And to me, a finished program is like a structure filled with light. All the corners are illuminated. You understand the structure of it. It's a really serene feeling to have completed that.
It took me some time to realize that creating things with your hands or creating code, creating programs, is just a different way to express creativity. I think right now there's a big emergence of the culture of making. People who make their own scarves and hats, people who write their own apps.
Now it's just limited by your imagination and sort of what kinds of ideas what kind of understanding can you build into the computer so that it can do these things that were previously impossible.
All great things are built in teams when you collaborate with other smart people.
You're testing your ideas, you're stimulating each other. That's what makes us successful. It's not some...
Wow, how exciting is that? How exciting. We're going to make this a video available for you on the Torch. But you have Bill Gates, you have Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. You have the gentleman who developed Dropbox. It's a great app where you can store things off of your iPhone and synchronize it to your computer. I mean, these guys are all talking about how, listen, you need to look in the future to have learn coding. In fact, there's even a segment on here listening to NBA basketball player Chris Bosh, mm-hmm. who took coding in college. And he's saying, you know, home friends are like, oh, you know, you're taking this. That's a geeky thing. I actually started earlier in school. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, this is great. And one of the things that coding does, and I'm sure Pat, you tell us more about this, but it helps children with critical thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really helps you to use your brain to truly think and to process. Mm-hmm. And my understanding that basically, you know, someone says, what is coding? Coding is according to Wikipedia, help me off, we're doing it right, but it says the purpose of programming is to create a set of instructions that computers use to perform a specific operation or to exhibit desired behaviors.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it.
So when we click on something, Pat, that says home button,
yeah,
or a click on the video, mm-hmm. that just doesn't just magically happen, right?
Yeah, there's code behind it that actually talking to itself, telling, you know, go do this, go pull this video from this X server and bring it to you, and it's just amazing. I mean, I see it, I don't even understand it, but it just works.
And you know how to do it?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm not like a writer, but I'm a good copy and paster.
but think
I recognize it though, put it that way.
Yeah, and it's basically a computer language mm-hmm. that tells websites and other applications mm-hmm. what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's coding that you use for websites and there's obviously coding that writes programs. A little bit different, but
same type of concept.
Yeah. What you see at the face value is not, I mean, that's half of what's going on. The rest of it's in the back, basically in the back. You know, see, doing all the work,
right?
To do in the background, what you see, yeah, in the background,
right? It's like the guts of the inner working of something. Just because you hit the play button or the blender doesn't, you know, there's other things working.
Right. Like just getting in your car and turn on the ignition and it goes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more going on underneath that hood than just
that.
Put it that way.
That's right. Well, look at the outlook, and we're going to share these stats with you so you can see this on the Torch, but They're projecting that by 2020, 1 million more jobs. There's going to be 1 million more jobs than students by 2020.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about an opportunity, a career opportunity, a major shift. And we've been talking how technology is going to advance over the next 5 years dramatically. Mm-hmm. It's a $500 billion opportunity. Think about that. Think about that. A $500 billion opportunity. And they expect to have 1.4 million computing jobs. And there's only 400,000 computer science students.
Wow.
There are not enough students. There's not enough graduates who are learning this amazing skill, this computer language, if you will. And they're going to have more jobs than they actually have students that are qualified. They said computer science is among the highest paid college degrees, and computer programming is growing at twice the national average. Right now, students that are graduating with math and science represent about 98%, while only 2% of graduates, of students, are studying computer programming. Mm. How amazing is that? And yet, the job indication, only 40% of jobs are going to be available in math and sciences, yet 60% of computer programming jobs, 60% of all jobs are going to be in computer programming, and only 2% of people actually studying it. Now, if you're at home and you're listening to this, or you're getting excited because there's an opportunity for you. You got to catch the wave. You know, you got to catch the wave. They say less than 2.4% of college students graduate with a degree in computer science, and that's fewer than 10 years ago, which is really interesting because you would think there'd be more students that want to, you know, study this with all the technology, but it's actually fewer. And 9 out of 10 schools right now don't even offer programming classes.
Wow.
Only 1 out of 10. And then they say that 41 out of 50 states, coding classes don't even count towards high school graduation. So this is not even something that students are not even being exposed to on a high school level. And so we're talking about this young man, Jaquin, I believe his name was, who walked for the interview, Reagan, and all these different type of opportunities. Let me tell you something. This website, you can go to the code.org. And again, we're going to make this available for you on the torch, code.org. But they actually have reference sites that you can actually learn how to code. Which is pretty cool because I actually checked this out. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That they show you on the right screen of the computer how a dog will actually, you can move like this little animated dog by doing a few cursor moves. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. So they show you kind of a split screen. But also, they list, I mean, I don't know, maybe a dozen websites that have tutorials that you can actually learn how to code. There's a website or development called Scratch that you can actually create things with it. And this is a great way, you know, for a young child to learn. Great way to involve critical thinking. Great way even for an adult to learn. These things are at no cost to you. They're free right now, and it's just a great way. I actually had a chance to, real quick, download an app. They have apps right now for your iPad. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. To teach children how to code. So I downloaded this app called Cargo Bot. Okay? Uh-huh. And basically what it does is you're supposed to be 8 years old and up. It's hilarious because you have to pass the tutorials in order to play the game. I can't get past the second tutorial because you have to tell this electrical claw arm what to do.
Yeah.
And it goes down, picks up this box, and moves it over. You know, this whole app was actually created, this whole tutorial, this whole game was created on another program that teaches you how to create. It's all available on iPad. I mean, it's just all available. We're going to make this available to you, but why not exercise critical thinking? Why not be looking at an opportunity where we can, like we talked about earlier on VFN Radio, raise our children's vision higher and kind of prepare them to use technology, especially for the purposes of God and the kingdom of God. I mean, right now, I believe Jesus.net is an evangelism website that I came across. They just celebrated, I believe, It was something like 4 to 5 million decisions for the Lord. They just celebrated 5 million decisions for the Lord in just a few short years of being able to have that website available and sharing the good news of you know, the kingdom. Think about that. Just with a simple website. Mm-hmm. Imagine what we're going to be able to do with cutting-edge technology, knowing this coding to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss this. Get a part and learn and share this with your children. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, mm-hmm. he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, mm-hmm. and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but is not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how to control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU. That it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifested in your life. And we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we're just talking about coding, teaching our children, getting them prepared for all the amazing technology and employment opportunities that await them in the next, my goodness, what, 7 years? In the next 7 years. And we've been talking about how this explosion of technology and advancement is going to take place. I mean, we've talked about this previously on The Torch. You want to go back and encourage yourself. One of those highlights is called The Future of Technology is Now. From the new Google Glasses to 3D, three-dimensional printing of body parts. I mean, it's just
crazy.
It's crazy, you know? But why not? Why not empower our children instead of playing video games? Why don't you learn how to create a video game?
Yeah, right.
Why don't you create something that's going to be able to help someone and add value to our society, and it's going to help people? You know, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, one of the first things he created, I believe, was an app, and it went crazy, it went viral, and he did it as a teenager. Just made something and just playing around, and that's how he really got started. So imagine getting started young.
Amazing.
What we want to share with you as we come to the end of the first hour, I was thinking about, as I was just reading the Word, you know, many things today, Pat and Chris, are, many good things for that matter, are being lifted up by the church today. I mean, there's so many things right now, kind of as God and in the name of God, but, you know, we got to ask ourselves, are we really lifting up God? Are we really lifting Jesus up? And anything that you lift up, anything we lift up other than Jesus, let me tell you, is going to fall. It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. We need to lift Jesus up, glorify God, exalt Jesus, and not get out of any sort of mixture. Because I think a lot of times there's so much mixture, and Jesus is mixed in with everything else that people are sharing. I mean, we don't want to lift up a building, right? Where the church gathers. We don't want to lift up a building. We don't want to lift up programs. We don't want to lift up music and dramas and all these different things. You know, we want to lift up the Lord, right? And this is what Jesus said in John 12:32. He says, when I'm lifted up, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. You know, God hasn't called us to build our kingdom, but he's called us to advance his kingdom, right?
Right.
I mean, we see this actually, you know, more often than we probably would like to see, more often than I know that the Lord wants to see. But sad to say that evangelism today in many fellowships is not about the lost finding Jesus, but rather more about a marketing program to add more numbers. Let me tell you that programs don't save people. Buildings don't save people. Nothing against programs or buildings, right? Even good preaching doesn't save people, right? Jesus alone is the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the drawing, but he must be lifted up. And we need to begin to lift Jesus high. We need to begin to preach the cross, the full gospel. We need to be able to preach and share forgiveness of sins and the need of repentance, surrendering your whole life to Jesus, right? Lord and Savior. And that everyone has been bought with a price. I mean, Jesus, we got to get back to lifting the Lord on high. Now, we're wondering, you know, what's happening. And maybe there's a gimmicky gospel that's being preached. You know, just Jesus We don't need traditions of men that make the gospel of non-effect. We need to exalt the Lord. The word exalt means to glorify, to increase, to raise, to elevate. It's so important because just because you see a large or a small gathering doesn't mean that they were drawn to Jesus.
Right.
They could have been drawn by their flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a gathering. I'm just amazed if people see a gathering and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, something's happening there. I'm like, something godly's happening. How do you know? How do you know? You know, and people can be just so like easily influenced and manipulated. It's like, come on now, just because we see a gathering of any sort doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, I there's youth groups that have blown up with hundreds and hundreds of young people there, only to find out that it wasn't the gospel that was bringing them in. It was the Xboxes that were being raffled if they stayed to the end of the service. You know what I mean? To the end of the time. Come on. We, you know, you can get a crowd, but what are we doing? What are we doing? And all believers today are called to do the work of an evangelist, the work of the evangelist. And each believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation and reconciling man to God. We've been empowered. We've been given this opportunity. And oftentimes I think that many people, the lost people today, don't have a problem with Jesus. I think that oftentimes they cite that their problem is in the ones that come in his name. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can mess up the message here. We get in the way.
Right.
And this is what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must become greater, and I must become lesser.
Right?
People need to see Jesus in our lives. We don't need to have anything on the outside that distracts away from the Lord. And we find in John 3 that there's an argument that kind of really breaks out between the disciples and a certain Jew. And in John 3:26, it says that they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him.
Right.
What's happening here? This guy you talked about, he's baptizing and everyone's running to him. And John's saying, that's the point.
Right.
That's the point. John says that the bride belongs to the bridegroom. She's not our bride. The church is not for us. You know, we can learn a lot from what John the Baptist said, that we must decrease. He must increase. The church doesn't belong, it belongs to Jesus. He's the chief shepherd, right? And we don't want to lift up anything that would draw attention away from Jesus to something else. And it's important for us to kind of evaluate and think about this. Are we lifting Jesus high? I mean, it's good to think about these things. It's not about really programs or what we offer or any of these other external things. It's about making Jesus known. It's about, like I said earlier, preaching the cross and getting and preaching against sin, really. I mean, Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. And the way for Jesus to be increased, particularly in our lives, right, is for us to decrease. If we're front and center, you know what I'm saying? Rest assured that Jesus is not front and center.
All right.
And Francis Assisi said this. He said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words. When necessary, use words. I mean, this should challenge us. I feel challenged today, but this should challenge us to recognize, is the Lord being exalted, the exalted Lord? And we would do well to follow John's words, right? Everything that is not of God in our life must not only decrease, but be completely gone. And may God, may Jesus be glorified in our lives, because when he's glorified, when Jesus is lifted up, he will do the drawing of men to him.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.